Okay, so today is Daf Samach Vav. We're going to start a new parak, seventh parak, Amana L'Kohen Gadol. So before we begin, a few introductions. Okay, introduction number one, Truma. We all know this, but Truma can be eaten by Kohanim, may not be eaten by non-Kohanim. Truma can be eaten by Kohanim, whether they're Gadol, whether they're Katan, whether it's male or female, that's the rule. Well, a non-Kohen woman who marries a Kohen is now considered Kinyan Kaspo, whatever that means, and therefore she may eat Truma as well. Even if her husband, the husband dies, so long as she has offspring from the Kohen, children and grandchildren, she's still permitted to continue eating Truma. It's almost as if she becomes a smidge of a Kohen that allows her to eat the Truma. Kohen's Avadim, also, that he owns, Kinyan Kaspo, can eat Truma. A Bat Kohen is allowed to eat Truma, so long that she is in the, if she's in her father's house and she's not married. If she marries to Israel, she is no longer permitted to eat Truma. If then she gets divorced or she becomes a widow and she doesn't have any children, she goes back to her father's house and may eat the Truma. Okay. When a woman gets married, next thing, there's what's called, they have a dowry. The dowry can consist of two ways. You can have what's called Nichsei Tzon Barzel or Nichsei Malog. Nichsei Malog are the nechassim that she brings into the marriage, and she says, and they determine that these nechassim will belong to her. The husband will have a right to use the nechassim throughout the time of the marriage, a leasehold on the items. If and when she collects her ksuba, then all the possessions go back to her pretty much as is. They're still hers. Then there's something called Nichsei Tzon Barzel. Barzel, iron, strong. These are things that they're written in the ksuba, where basically evaluate the items. They say it's worth, $10,000. At the time of divorce, the husband has to either give her back the items or give her the value of the $10,000. Whether or not these things are up in value or down in value, basically the husband is kona them with like a delayed sale that he has, delayed purchase where he has to pay for them at the time the marriage is dissolved. Those are two introductions. Now, third introduction is that an almana is not allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol. So you have an almana who marries a Kohen Gadol. Okay, so it's done. It's a wedding. It's a marriage that's done. Beisr, grush, or you have a grusha b'chalutza that marries a Kohen Hedyot. So they do not eat truma, despite the fact that normally someone who's married to a Kohen eat truma. These women cannot eat truma because they're chalalim. They're a chalal because they're married beisr. So they're considered chalalos and they can't eat truma. Now, what happens if in this marriage hichnisa lo abdei mulok? She brought into the marriage servants, avadim, but avadim as malog, which means that he has the right to use them, but technically they belong to her. So avadim malog, or avdei tzon barzel. Or she brought in avadim that are tzon barzel, which means they belong to him, they evaluate with their value. She's going to get the current value of those servants upon the dissolution of the marriage. So avdei tzon barzel. So what's this? So avdei malog, the avdei malog, lo yochel b'truma. They will not eat truma. They cannot eat truma because since they belong to the woman, as we're seeing right now, since we're assuming they belong to her, and therefore it's not king and kaspo, I guess, and we're going to change this, obviously, and therefore they cannot eat, let's just read, avdei malog cannot eat the truma. And avdei tzon barzel, which in the chasam abal, they can eat the truma. This is Rashi, is important. The introduction that we gave, he says, Almana Kohen Gadol, Hechnis lo Abdi Malog. What are Abdi Malog? Masha and Isha Machneses Labaila, what the woman brings into the wedding. Vishamalo Lakavamala Bachrayas, and he accepts responsibility. Chrayas Ksuvasa, Kimosha Kosim, Dodd. Okay, fine. We did that. Abdi Malog lo Yochel, Rashi says, Lefi Shehin Shalah. They're hers. Vihi Chalala, and she's a Chalala. Or the Gemara Mefarish Taima. Then the Gemara explains the reasoning. The Elo Abdi Malog, so the Gemara explains, what are considered Abdi Malog? Im Mesu, Mesula. Im Hosiro, Hosirola. The value, whether it goes up or down, interesting how the Gemara uses Mesu as the term. If the value goes down, they go down to her. If the value goes up, they go back to her. She still owns them. So to the dissolution of the wedding, she gets them. It's hers. But now, Bob, what is Mesu Mesula, Imosiro Sirula, Viapa Pishu Chai Vimizanoson, and even though the Baal, the husband in this situation, is obligated to support them. He's got to give the avadim, right? Because he has rights in them. He has responsibilities. Since he gets the benefit of their product, he has to provide them with. He has to provide them with food. These cannot eat truma in our case. Again, our case is an almana kohen gadol or gerusha bechalutza kohen hejot. Since those women are halalim, in this case, it's an isra relationship. Therefore, their malog may not eat truma, but their tzon barzel may eat truma because the tzon barzel aren't hers anymore. They belong to him. The Elu Avdei Tzon Barzel, which we said, what are Avdei Tzon Barzel? Im Mesu Mesu Lo, Im Hosiro Siro La. What she's going to get is determined on day one. If the value then goes up, she still gets, and the marriage dissolves, she still gets the lower valuation. If the value goes down, she's getting that higher valuation, because they belong to him. So Im Mesu Mesu Lo, Im Hosiro Siro La, Behova Vuhu Chayeb Achrayoson, since they're considered his, he's Chayeb, and he has the Achrayos on them, where they go up, where they go down, he has the total responsibility, then Hare Elu Yochul Shuma. They eat Shuma. Next case, Bas Yisrael Shenisik Lekohen. Right, so you have an Israelite woman who marries into the priestly family, the Hichnisilo Avadim, and she brings in Avadim. Now, in this case, Bein Avdei Mulog, Bein Avdei Tzon Barzel, Hare El Yochel B'Truma. So here we say that there's no difference. There is no difference between Mulog and Tzon Barzel. So we have to figure out why there's a difference in the ratio. But there's no.
Belongs to him,
but her. But in this case also, no. The Mulog don't belong to him, and yet they may eat Truma. But.
Connections.
What's the difference? Why is if the Malog eats Truma in one, if the Malog don't belong to him in one case, then if the Malog don't belong to him, then they should never eat Truma. If the Malog do belong to him, then they should be able to eat Truma. Gemara will explain. But by Yisrael Shanishis Lekohen, Imechnis Lo Avadim, Bein Abdi Malog, Bein Abdi Tzon Barzel, Harin Elo Yochel Truma, they both can eat Truma. Rashi says, Afilo Abdi Malog, She'enon Shalo, even though not really his, Yochlu. The Hainu Kinyono, because he has a Kinyon. Shekana Kinyon, Valfim Gemara, the Kanan Shekana, we'll see what the Gemara says, but the Rashi says that the Sefer is saying that he may eat the Tzon Barzel may eat, because it's Kinyon Kasbo. Well, if it's Kinyon Kasbo, then it's Kinyon Kasbo in the first case also. So we monitor, Malog eats or Malog doesn't eat. So that Gemara is going to end up discussing, that's going to be a major discussion in the Gemara. Okay, now, Bas Kohen, the third case that we have, is a Bas Kohen who may eat Truma while she's in her father's house, but she's Nisnes to Yisrael. She ends up marrying a non-Kohen. Okay? So therefore, at this point in time, she may not eat Truma, because Yisrael can't eat Truma. Now, Im Hichnisa Lo Avadim, if she brought Avadim in, again, Bein Avdei Milog, Bein Avdei Tzon Barzel, Har Eidu Lo Yochu B'Truma. They become king and kasbo of the husband, both by Barzel and by Milog. We view them as kinyan of the husband. The husband is a non-Kohen, therefore, they may not eat Truma. Okay, if she's divorced, then she's out. If her husband dies, if she's left with offspring from the husband, she could continue eating truma. If not, she goes back to her father's house and she may not eat truma. Okay, so Gemara then said, in the case of when the almana married the kohen gadol or the grushin chalutza married the kohen hejot, we said avni milog lo yochol truma. The avni milog do not eat truma. Gemara says, am I? Why not? Right, in the second two cases of the Mishnah, they do. So Gemara is asking, why not? Lahavi ki kinyano shekanya kinyan. It becomes his kinyan. Right? He has a kinyan. What's the difference? He has a right to use it. The right to use it works in the sefer of the Mishnah. The right to work should work in the ratio of the Mishnah also. Amai lahavi ki kinyano shekanya kinyan. Ditanya, because you have a brisa. Minayin lekohen. How do you know the kohen? Shenasa isha, who married a woman. Vikana avadim. How do we know? So he, let's say, Kohen marries somebody, or he was Kohen Avadim, but they can eat Truma. Shenamar, the Pasuk says, V'Kohen ki yikne nefesh, kinyan kaspo hu yochal bo. His kinyan kaspo can eat. So the Avadim are really his kinyan. Women are not really his kinyan. They're not even being PC. The Mishnah say they're not really kinyan. The marriage is done through the mechanism of kinyan, but it's not really an ownership, but it's viewed as kinyan kaspo, they may eat it. Aye, so minayin, what about the following? And what minayin le, if the Bas Yisrael, minayin le isha, shekansa avadim, the avadav, shekanu avadim, sorry, minayin le isha, shekansa avadim, the avadav, shekanu avadim, yochol b'truma. How do we know if the woman brought in avadim into the marriage, or his avadim somehow were able to purchase avadim on their own, which is difficult because kol mashakana abdo kana rabdo. But come up with a case where the eved can buy his own service. But so the first case, spoken in the first case. How do you know that a woman who brings in avadim, that right? Rashi says, "Minayin leisha basisol kana and shekansa avadim minichsei melog shela from her nichsei melog that they can eat truma." How do you know that? Shenemar, the apostle says, the hakohen ki yikne nefesh kinyan kaspo hu yochal bo. So this is going to be, if your kinyan kaspo has kinyan kaspo, how do we know that that derivative kinyan kaspo can eat? Because of the extra word of kinyan kaspo. The apostle simply said, the kohen ki yikne nefesh hu yochal bo. What is kohen ki yikne nefesh kinyan kaspo hu yochal bo? That extra kinyan kaspo comes to teach you that if the kohen's kinyan kaspo has kinyan kaspo, that secondary or derivative kinyan kaspo may also eat. So we see from the brisa that the nichsei melog of the woman is permitted to eat truma. So why is it in our ratio of our mishnah is the nichsei melog of the amar al kohen gadol, the grusha chalutz, the kohen hedjo not permitted to eat truma? So we're going to have three answers. The first answer seems to say that it's an Isra D'oraisa. They're going to try to pull on a D'oraisa level. The last two and second two answers are going to more be of a Gzeira, be a D'Rabbanan. So the Gemara answers, Kol ha'ochel machil, kosha'in ochel eino machil. The Gemara seems to say, look, you know what it is? Whoever themselves is permitted to eat truma via the marriage to the Kohen, so then their kinyan kaspo can eat. So a regular Basi Yisrael who marries to a Kohen, since she can eat truma, her nichsei melog can eat truma. But here we're talking about an Amana Kohen Gadol, or Grusha Chalutz Kohen Hedjot. That woman is not permitted to eat truma, so therefore her kinyan kaspo will also not be able to eat truma. So the idea is that if you are able to eat, you're able to feed. If you're not able to eat, you're not able to feed. Rav Mara says, really? Is that true? Below? How about the following cases? Vare arel, so you have a non-circumcised kohen, v'chol ha-tameyim she'eno ochlim, and all the tamei kohanim, they are not permitted to eat. They're not allowed to eat truma. Kohen tamei is not allowed to eat truma. And nevertheless, we learned in a mishnah, where's the mishnah? Coming up, on the ayin. Primary RL, the kola tameim, she'enim ochlim, ma'achilim. But their wives and their servants can eat. So that goes against what we just said. These are people who are not ochel, yet they're ma'achil. And we just said, in order to feed, you have to eat. These can't eat, and they're still feeding. So there's a big difference over there. There's a difference whether or not this is a situation that's correctable. Right? Theoretically, the RL can get circumcised. The tamei can become tahor. So basically, so the Gemara says, hasam, Pumayu ke'eblu, it's as if his mouth hurts him. It's like this is like a side reason why at that moment in time, like it has pains in his mouth, he has sores in his mouth, that he can't eat it. But that will go away. So this can theoretically go away. So but in essence, he can eat it. He just right now he has a block. Remove the block and he can go through. But the woman, the Almana Kohen Gadol, the Grusha Chalutz Kohen Hedjot, there's not a block. There's an Isser. It's not going to happen. There's no way to rectify that situation. So therefore it's not a comparison. The Gemara says, okay, what about the following case? Vihare. We'll quote a Mishnah on Daf Samach Tes. The Mishnah there says, Mamzer, and Rashi says it doesn't even have to be a Mamzer, Mamzer she'ein ochel ma'achil. What about you have the case of a woman, well, it could be Rashi. Rashi says, Arei Mamzer. So it's like the bottom third of the short line. So Arei Mamzer. Bas Yisrael she'nishes l'kohen. Right? So you have a regular Yisraelis that marries a Kohen. So she can eat shum at that moment in time. V'yolda Bas. And she gives birth to a daughter. Okay, v'abas nises l'mamzer. The daughter marries a mamzer. V'yolda ben. So now she has a mamzer grandson. V'mesa, the daughter dies. V'haben kayam, and the son, the mamzer's son, is still alive. Okay, so we say hare im imo, this grandmother who's married to the Ashes Kohen, ocheles b'shvilo truma. She may still eat truma, because she still has offspring from her Kohen husband, even though he's a mamzer, so she's still permitted to eat truma, right? La'achar mises b'ayel, l'fisha yesh lo zerim in a Kohen, because I'm a sefer birkin, right? V'hu adin nami im kasher ha'iva, even if this grandson is a kasher, let's say that the daughter, she marries a Kohen, she has a daughter, right? The daughter marries a regular Yisraelis, right? And then the daughter marries, a Kohen, whatever it is, and there's a kid. And there's a kid. So that kid still permits the mother, the grandmother to eat. That kid's a Yisraelis, or a mamzer in our situation. So that kid who's either a mamzer or a Yisraelis can't eat truma, but because of him, he's machil her to allow to eat truma. So So I say, I don't think that's a real right. I think that what that is that the grandson just maintains the status quo that the grandfather had. Well, okay, the Gemara says, you see from here that even though if you're not Ochel yourself, you can be the cause or the reason why somebody else can eat Truma. So why not the case by the Oman and the Kohen Gadol and the Grush Galutz, the Kohen Hedjot? They can't eat, but let them be the cause, it's just, and that their king and kas will be able to eat. So Amar Ravina says, okay, what it means, he would say as follows. Amar Ravina, we're just going to rejigger this. Kinyan Ochel Ka'amer. If you're a Kinyan Kaspo, if a Kinyan Kaspo can eat, then the Kinyan Kaspo can eat. But if the Kinyan Kaspo cannot eat, then the Kinyan Kaspo cannot eat either. Right? Rabbi Ravina say Kinyan Ochel Ka'amar, meaning Kinyan Ochel Machil. Anything that's a Kinyan Lekoyan, if that Kinyan can eat, then they can Machil to somebody else. Ain't Ochel, but if the Kinyan Kaspo the Kohen cannot eat, like the Oman of the Kohen Gadol, then their Kinyan Kaspo may not eat either. Okay, so that seems to be on a Yoraisa level. Now comes Rava, and Rava says, no, you know what? There's this, you're making a distinction that's not there. Nichsei Milog are Kinyan Kaspo of the husband. Nichsei Milog should be able to eat, whether or not this woman's Almana or not. He owns them. She has a side reason why she can't eat because she's a Chal.
Oh, she owns him.
He owns the rights to use them.
Right. Yeah.
So he owns the rights, so therefore, they Kinyan Kaspo, they should be able to eat. What's going on here? It's Takana de Rabbanan. Rava Amar Midoraisa Michle Achli. You're right, Eina Chanami. Even though the woman may not eat the Truma, because she is a Chalalan, right? Even though she may not eat the Truma, nevertheless, her Kinyan Kaspo, the Nichsei Milog, like the second part of the Mishnah, the Nichsei Milog, the Yoraisa level, may eat the Truma. Why do we say not? The Rabbanan Huda Gazrubahu. The Rabbanan made a Gezeri here. What's the Gezerah? The Gezerah here is they want to create tension in the marriage. They want her to leave this marriage because it's an Issa relationship. And then according to Rabbi Kiva, the kid will be a mamzer. Right? It's an Issa relationship. So Rabban de Gazer Behu, Kadesha Tomar, hopefully she'll say to herself, well, she'll look around and she'll see, Ani Eino Ocheles, I'm not eating the Truma, Va'avadai Eino Ochlin, and my Malog are not eating the Truma. I look like a Zona. I look like an outsider. I'm a Zona, it's low. I'm an outsider to him. He'll look Asla Puke, and then she'll want to get divorced. You're trying to create this tension.
What? She's not allowed, but the slaves are. That will make her feel like divorced.
I hear that. I hear. But at least, but the idea is that it may make her feel worse, but at least she'll think that her relationship is legit. By showing that, that's I think what they're saying. By showing that she has no relationship, right? Rashi says, no, Rashi. Rashi in the next one. Okay. That's one. Rav Ashi, Amar Rashi says, no, it's a gzeira shema tachila achar misa. The gzeira is that lest she comes, that's so used to the situation, that she'll continue feeding her malog people after the husband dies. Let's say after the husband dies and there are no children. So technically, she's out. So after the husband dies, but since she kept feeding them, since they were his avadim at the time, she'll continue feeding them truma. So that suspicion, that worry applies in all cases. Right? Elamayata, it's the same thing. Bas Yisrael, shenishis lekohen, lo sochil. A Bas Yisrael, a regular Bas Yisrael, a normal situation, who marries a kohen, she also should not be allowed to feed her malog. The malog avadim should be allowed to eat during the marriage, because lest they come to be the marriage dissolves, and she'll continue feeding them. So what's that? That's not
even,
an example.
Then even the Tzon Barzal do.
No, Tzon Barzal are his. They stay in.
No, but if she dies, she'll continue feeding them.
But they're allowed to eat the Tzon Barzal. They're part of
after
his.
He dies.
Yeah, they're his. Yes.
If she's a Israel, they have no kids. They married to a Kohen. There's a Tzon Barzal of Odin. When he dies, the Tzon Barzal reverses to her.
No, they don't. The value reverses to her.
What?
The value reverses to her.
The value, okay.
But the abundant themselves can stay. Yeah, they're his. They're part of his estate now.
He cashes out
if he wants to. If he doesn't, and he gives her back to her, that's one thing. But if he maintains the ownership, it's his. They're his. It's a purchase. So what? They belong to the estate. So his kids or his estate can feed them.
And the estate of a coin can feed truma to people?
I believe so.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Cohen dies, he has a wife.
She can still.
The wife is still destroyed. No kids. There's no kids now. Talk about a kid with no kids.
Right. But it doesn't matter. It's Tzon Barzal. That's the definition. They bought and belong to the man. Malog would go back. Barzal will see whether she has a choice of which she wants, and maybe that will make the decision determine whether they stay or not. But they stay with the Cohen in his estate. They belong to the Cohen, the Kinyan Kaspo. Okay, so Elamayata Bashosh Nisa Kol no Takal Zero Shim Tokal Misa Elam Rashi says, now the question is like this. is that Amar Rashi, we're talking about the case we're discussing, the specific case that we're discussing, is Be'almana Kohenes. Okay, so what you have now is you have this Almana who married the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara says, oh, that answers that case. What about the next case? But you have an Almana, Almana Bas Kohen, who marries another Kohen. Okay, so that's the case. My Elam Me'ata, Rashi says, Bas Elam Me'ata, sorry. Almana Kohenes, she's a Bas Kohen, who then marries the Kohen Gadol. Or she's a Grusha Chalutz, who's a Bas Kohen, who marries a Kohen. They may not, you may not feel their Abdei Mulog Truma. Because if you feed the her Abdei Mulog Truma during the lifetime of her husband, because it's at that moment it's Kinyan Kasbo, there's a chash that maybe after the husband dies, when she goes back to her father's house, she'll continue to eat, feed them Truma. And she cannot, because she becomes a Chalala. Right, when the moment this Bas Kohen marries a Grusha, or the moment this Bas Kohen Grusha marries a Kohen, or this Bas Kohen Almana marries a Kohen Gadol, she becomes a Chalala. Okay, so technically speaking, her Avdi, the Avdi Malog may eat Truma, because it's Kinyan Kasbo. But what happens if the marriage dissolves, if he dies? So she goes back to her father's house. Could she eat Truma in her father's house? Not anymore, she's a Chalala. If she wasn't, so she might get confused. She would say as follows. She would say, the Aisela Ori. She may come to make this Horah to herself and say, me, Kara, before, when I was Almana, before I married this Kohen, I was Kohen Gadol, Achit Shuma de Bein Nasha. I was able to eat Shuma in my father's house. And now, in Sebei Lahai, and now, I'm sorry, not when I was a, when I was an Almana, before I married this Kohen Gadol, my Avadim were able to eat Shuma in my father's house. And then, in Sabli Lahai, when I married this Kohen or Kohen Gadol, Achli, my avadim b'truma begavai, the gavrai. My avadim were again allowed to eat truma in his house. Again, the rice of the king and Kasbo. So now, b'hashta, now that my husband dies, hadiulei lemilsa kamaisa. I go back to my original status. My original status was, in my father's house, my avadim could eat truma. But that's not true anymore, because she profaned herself by going into this illicit relationship. So therefore, and she doesn't know, below yadar, she doesn't know that the meikara lo shapti nafshei chalala, and hashta shapti nafshei chalala. So we make a takana to say that in this case, when you have a bas kohen almana who marries a kohen gadol, or bas kohen a bas kohen grusha who marries a regular kohen, we're going to make a takana that her the nichsei malog may not eat during the marriage, lest he die and she goes back to her father's house and thinks she can still feed them truma, but she can't, because once when she leaves the husband's house, when he dies and she goes back to her father's house, she may no longer feed them truma. They're out of the truma picture, but she'll make that mistake. So the Gemara says, okay, that's great. You made that works if the almana or the grusha was originally a bas kohen. Then we had this fear, when she goes back to the father's house, she may still feed them. Whether this almana or this grusha was a regular bas yisrael, we don't have that fear anymore, right? Because originally they weren't able to eat. Now they may eat. Okay, so when she goes back to her father's house, they can't eat again. They'll go back to the original thing. That would be correct. The Gemara says, Tenach almana kohenes. Almana bas yisrael Michael and Meimar. The Gemara says, Bamanusa lo poli grabana. Lo plug. Making this takana low plug applies across the board. And Rashi just gives a good explanation. He says the last wide line of Rashi. Ba'amana kohenes. Ba'amana kohenes. Right. Bas kohen shava l'tshumas avia misas baila. She goes back to truma in her father's house. The Iamrina yochlo avdi melog b'tshuma b'chaya bala kohen gadol zeh b'shem kinyon or shakana kinyon. The low gara him chalalam right, we did this all. We chalalam me'evet shekara avadim. Aisla urei hatera achar mitasos. We more heter la'achilim b'tshuma machmas avia. The amra shall say me'ikaru ba'amunusei arishon hayu avdei ochem b'tshuma d'vein nasha. Antzvi le'le kohen gadol achli b'tshuma d'gavrai. Hashtak chameis hajre le'milsa kameisa. V'yochol avdei avadai b'tshuma d'vein nasha kimikara ba'amunusei arishon. That can't be. That's a problem. Fine. Okay, that's that. Okay, next. Itmar. Now we're going to go into the Nichsei Tzon Bar, I'll discuss that a little bit. So, see.
Why did it change the name now?
Nichsei Bar to Shum? I don't know. Because Shum is what Nichsei Bar are. It's a, you evaluate. I don't know why they change it, but Rashi says, Hamechneses Shum Labaila, Rashi says, Nichseid Son Barzal explains, Sheshom Alobik Suvasa, because they evaluate, they value the amount in the Ksuva, Vahabibahen Kalin, Vidavar Hamasuyam, Ukashagirsha, Ubasa Lito Ksuvasa. So we have a woman who brought in Nichseid Son Barzal into the marriage. They are already, they have the value in the Ksuva, and she, so technically speaking, they're his, and she's supposed to get the value. But now with the divorce, she says, "You know what? I want those. I want the items. I don't want the I don't want the value. I want the actual items." We'll see why. I mean, because it looks nice to have property. So he says, "Itmar hamachnesu shum lebayla, he omeris keli anoteles. I want to take the kli. I want to take the kli. So that, if, let's say she's allowed to take the kli, well, then you have the problem to deal with the value, because if she because she's taking the kli." Let's say the kli went up in value. Let's say the kli went up down in value. He omerit kli ani noteles. V'hu omer no. Dami menosin. I'm going to give you the value. Right? Rashi says, he omerit kli ani notel. V'hu omer dami menosin. Kimo shekibat labashuma. Umei az hein brach rusai b'shali hein. He says, I bought them. I bought them at the time of the ksuba. I'm going to pay you for them now, because this is when I owe you the money. But I want to keep the kalim. They're mine. So who omer di nosin? Hadim imi. Who's correct? It's interesting language also. Hadim imi. Who's right? It's like a real Beis Din case they're talking about. Right? Write it up in the 5,000 Jewish times. Who's correct? Rabbi Yehuda Amar. So Rabbi Yehuda says Hadin Ima. She's correct. The din is with her, and she can collect the kalim. They'll belong to her if she wants. Rabbi Ami Amar Hadin Imo. No, Hadin Imo belongs to him, and he can if he wants to keep them. Just pay the amount that they were valued. If he doesn't want them, obviously, just give him that. And
so
give.
So let's say they go from God. Does she have to pay them?
We'll see. I don't know. Let's see. Maybe not. I don't know. So the Gemara says, so Rabbi Yehuda Amar Hadin Ima. What's Rabbi Yehuda Svara to say that she's correct? Didn't he buy them? So he says, Hadin Ima Mishum Shvach Beis Aviya. Because she wants to have these items in her dowry so she can be married again, a second time. The Shvach Beis Aviya, it's a kavod u'tiferes for her father. That to give over, it's a covenant for the father of the bride to give his bride to a man with all these possessions. So therefore, shvach ve'savia for the second marriage, she can get it, right? So mishum shvach ve'samia avia didahave. They're viewed as hers. Okay, Rabbi Yam, if she wants. Rabbi Ami Amar din imo, the din belongs to him. Kevin the Amar Mar, because since we said in our Mishnah was quite clear. Im mesu mesu lo, im hosiro siu lo, ho v'chai v'ach riyoson yochelu. The whole reason why these avadim were allowed to eat, originally in the Mishnah, and the whole reason the Mishnah said that if the value goes up, it's on him. If the value goes down, it's his. He made a valuation in the ksuba, that's what he pays, and he says if he bought them. So the kalim are his. At the dissolution of the marriage, they're his. She just gets the value.
Because if she gets the actual property, she's allowed to pay. That's going to be the conclusion.
Right.
How is this different from Rishlin Milog?
Right, it's so he's Chayiv Bach Riyosan, I guess.
No, because the difference is in the value is, I'm assuming that he's
going to
have to pay the difference.
That's right, he's Chayiv Bach Riyosan. There's the Milog, there's no valuation. This goes back to her as is. Here, there might have to be some compensation to pay
correct.
To pay the difference.
Somebody's got to pay one way or the other.
Right. Okay, so Amar Rav Safra. Rav Safra says, that's not a raya from the Mishnah. The Mishnah just said, im mesu mesu lo, im hosiro siro lo. But mikatani v'hein shalo, they didn't say that they're his, right? It's not that they're that he owns them, but he's responsible for them, is what the Mishnah said. He's responsible for their value. Amar Rav Safra, mikatani v'hein shalo, it says, ho el b'chaye b'achor yosan katani, ula olam lav didei ninu. They're not really his, he's just responsible for the value. That's what he's saying. So therefore, it's not a raya. So Gemara says, wait a second. That's not true. He says, if he's only responsible for the value, the chol hecha dechayev achuyoson achle truma, is it really the case that if you're responsible, if you have a responsibility towards this thing, that's enough to allow this item to eat truma? We'll bring a case now where we'll say that the Kohen has responsibility, and what he has responsibility for may not eat the truma. So what's going on here? Like Rashi says, the Gemara says, so Amar Rav Safra, the chid kol hecha dechaya ba'achru yosan achli truma ba'atran, Mishnah in the 11th parak of Trumos, Yisrael shesachar para mikohen. So Yisrael rents a cow from the Kohen. So who's the, and now wants to feed him. So he says, harei zeh Yisrael kan yochlena karshinei truma. He can give truma feed to the cow, because the cow belongs to the Kohen. despite the fact that he's responsible for it, so it belongs to the Kohen. And the opposite, Kohen Shesachar Parim Yisrael, if a Kohen rents a cow from Yisrael, Aval Pisha Shemizonosel Love, even though the Kohen is responsible to feed this animal, nevertheless, Lo Yachileto Karshine Truma, he may not feed this animal Truma. So you see here, what?
It's not his.
Sorry, it's not his, and therefore, right, Rashi says, Shesachar Parim Yisrael, Vahu Socher Chayav Achru Yisa, Im Nignevo Onevada, Rashi's gave away, because he's not Chayav Ones, but he's Chayav Achrayus if the item is stolen or lost. Nevertheless, he has a sachrayus for it. He doesn't feed her. He can't feed a truma. So you're telling me that the reason why the Kohen in our Mishnah can feed a truma is because it's chayav achrayus. Achrayus doesn't do anything. It must be because it's his. And if it's his, how can she get it back? So the Gemara says, "Vitizbara, are you really trying to compare the case of a renter to our case? No. Nihi nami, by the case of the socher, the mechaya b'gneiva v'aveda, he doesn't have full responsibility. He has limited responsibility. If it's nignav or it's nevad, then he's responsible to pay it back. But if there was an ones, or a mesa machmas malacha, the renter's not, you know, bringing in our bava kama now, the renter is not responsible. If it is brought, nihi nami, the mechaya b'gneiva v'aveda, oseha, if it's an onus or it's something that's not in his it went up in value or went down in value, the renter is not responsible. And since he's not chayiv in the achrayus for everything, that's the reason why he can't feed a truma. But the case of the kohen in our Mishnah, the case of a kohen who brought in Nichsei Tzom Barzel, he's responsible for everything for this Eved. He's responsible to feed it. He's responsible, if anything happens to it, it's on him. He still has to pay her the value of the item full. Doesn't make a difference if it was stolen, it got lost, it went down in value, went up in value, if it died, it's still his responsibility to make sure that she gets paid. So it's full achrayus. So the Gemara says, that's why he says, so the case of our Mishnah is similar to the Seifa, the Mishnah in Trumas. Ha, lo damya el le Seifa. What's that in the Seifa? It's a case of Yisrael shesham parah mikohen. The Yisrael dasham parah mikohen, lo yachlen karshine truma. We'll get in the case in a minute. And aval kohen shesham parah Yisrael, yachlen karshine truma. There the case is where they put on, they make a deal. Let's say, let's do the second case. The Kohen is renting this cow from the Yisrael, but in the deal, he takes upon himself full responsibility. They put an evaluation on the animal, and he says, anything that happens to the animal, I will pay. So now he's taking upon himself full responsibility. And when he took upon himself full responsibility, the Mishnah says, he may feed the animal the Karshine Truma, because he took upon himself that full responsibility. Tosaf doesn't like that explanation of Rashi, because it sounds a little bit like Ribbis. So Tosa says the case is simply, instead of him being a renter, he's a borrower, he's a shoel. And a shoel is responsible for everything, right, except for Mesa Machmas Malacha. But a shoel is responsible for everything. Rashi's case says that, he basically says that I'm going to pay you back the principal, because it looks like you're paying principal, but I pay him back. I borrowed this from you, and I'm paying you back the principal, or I rent this from you, I'm paying you back the principal, which is the animal, plus I'm going to give you more money. So that looks like interest. That's interest, according to Tosos. Okay, so that's what the case is similar like. And you see that taking full responsibility is sufficient to allow the Kohen to feed this item, or this animal, this person, Truma. So to our Mishnah, it's not the fact that it belongs to the Kohen, it's the fact that the Kohen has responsibility to it. And having responsibility to it means you can eat the Truma, but just because responsibility doesn't mean at the end it's fully, fully his, and therefore she would have the right, if she wanted to say, I want the item, as opposed to just the value. So Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, Bishilei Pirkei de Rav Nachman. So Rabbi and Rav Yosef are sitting at the end of the shir of Rav Nachman, the Yosef Ka'amri, and they got up and they said, Tanya Kavasei de Rav Yehuda. There's a brace that supports Rav Yehuda that says she's correct, that she can get the item. But Tanya Kavasei de Rav Ami says that the din is imo, that he can collect it. Okay. Tanya Kavasei de Rav Ami, that the din is with him. Okay, what do we have the following case? A woman brings into the marriage Tzon Barzel, Avdei Tzon Barzel, and then the halacha is by an Eved Kanani, if you knock out or you break a permanent, or you do a permanent blemish, the item, it goes free. So what happens in the Tzon Barzel case? Only if the master does something to the Eved does the Eved go free. So, okay, the tooth gets knocked out. Does the Eved go free in this situation? Right, so Gemara says, Tani Kavash Nirami, Avdei Tzom Barzel, Yotzin B'Shein V'Ayin Li'ish, Avalo Li'isha. The Avdei Tzom Barzel go out free if the husband knocks out the tooth. But not if the wife knocks out the tooth. It's not hers, it's his. That's a riot to Ravami that the Din Zimo, which belongs to him. Tosos does not like this at all. Tosos said, because he says, all the Rishonim say, it's clear, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that if you knock out the tooth, at the time that the tooth was knocked out, belonged to the husband. Of course, Rabbi Yehuda's not going to argue with that. Why is that a riot to Ravami? If Rabbi Yehuda would agree with that. Right? He says, quotes with Avde, right? He says, "Tamer l'ri, ma raya ma'ase mihacha l'Rav Ami. The Rav Yehuda nami moed the yotzin b'shein va'ayin liish. The chashik ka'avdo ki heichin the chashik kinyan kaspel in truma. The same way it's the avdo and says kinyan kaspel in truma, it's going to be his eved l'gabi shein va'ayin. So Rav Yehuda would definitely agree. Forget who can get the eved at the end of the marriage. At this moment in time, it's kinyan kaspel, and she would go free. There's no raya over here, I guess. So Tosfos explains that the raya is from the sefer. The raya is not from the fact that if the husband hits, then he goes free. The raya is that if the woman knocks out the tooth, he doesn't go free. That's where he gets the raya from. Okay, so that's a Tanya Kavasi, the Rav Ami. Now Tanya Kavasi, the Rav Yehuda, we have a brayso that supports Rav Yehuda, who said that the din is imah, that she gets it because of shvach aviyah, beis aviyah. Hamachnesa shum labayla, we have a brayso that says, if the woman brings in nichsei tzon barzel, im rotza habal limkor, if the husband wants to sell these items, lo yimkor, he can't sell it. But she has a blocking right. She prevents him from selling it, right? The lo od, el afilu habanim, even afilu hichnis lo shum mishalo, right? Im rotza habal limkor, lo yimkor. That even if he says, like he sort of makes a collateral, Rashi says, the Rashi says, "Lo yimkor sheim yigarsheno titol keleg." He can't sell it because she has the lien on it to get it first. And the second case is imrutz hichnis lo shum mishalo. I guess he evaluated its own barzel and he specified a field from where she can collect the money. She can collect from. He specified a field. Nevertheless, he may not sell this item. Imrutz labal dimkor lo yimkor. Machru shneim, shneim here Rashi says either. If either of them sell it, liparnasa, that they machru shneim. Neither of them can sell them. Right, liparnasa zeh ma'isa lifnei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel va'amar haba mos bnei lekuchos. Even if she sells it, he gets it back. Meaning, he can't sell it because she has a blocking right. Because at the end of the marriage, she's allowed to collect it if she wants. Right, so that is a tanya kavasi the Rabbi Yehuda. So there's prices. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav, Rava, Amar Rav Nachman." Rav Nachman said, "Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, like the Din Ima." So Amalei Rava, the Rav Nachman, v'hatanya kavasi the Rav Asi. How can you pass in one way with a price that says the other way? He said, "Well, how do you pass this way with a price that says that way? I mean, you're kind of stuck. You have to choose, right?" So he says, "No, he says, Apal God the Tanya kavasi the Rami. Even though we have a price like Rav Ami, mistaber time with Rabbi Yehuda mishum shvacha beisaviyah." He says, "No, Rabbi Yehuda makes more sense. He has a brisa plus a svara." So this brisa plus the svara is going to trump the brisa. I'm going to say, if you hold that's a good svara, shvacha vesavia, and therefore, even though he has full rights and he has full responsibility on the items, nevertheless, she has a blocking right. So at the dissolution of the marriage, she can say, you know what, instead of taking the value, I want to take back the item. Okay. Hahi itisa, the ailele gavra, it's dila de melasa. So there was this one woman who brought into the marriage, as tzon barzel, this beautiful cloak. This beautiful cloak, b'ksuvasa. B'shachiv, and the husband died. Okay, she wants her cloak back. But what did they do? The sons used the cloak as tachrichin. Okay? Excuse me. B'shachiv. And shaklua yasme uparsua amisana. So Amarava, Rava says, kenyana misana. The mace is kone the item. It's the idea of a hektish idea. And the mace is kone the item. Because the moment that the Yorshe HaMeis put the talus on their father who died, the talus becomes takrichin, they become asr b'hanah, and you're not allowed to take it. So what do? They give it the money. They give it the value. Okay, so amalei Nanai bereid the Rav Yosef bereid the Rava the Rav Kahana the Amar Rava Amar Rav Nachman halacha Rav Yehuda. Didn't we say that just say the din is like Rav Yehuda, who says that she gets the kalim if she wants? Why does the mace get? Why do they get to keep it? So here it's different. He says Amalei Milo Moder Rav Yehuda the Mechusa Gavaino the Kaven the Mechusa Gavaino Bereshusei Kai. The case is yeah she has the right, but that's not collected yet. She has the first. She has a right to collect, and when she collects, it belongs to her. But prior to her collecting it, it's in their Rishus. So it was in their Rishus. She didn't collect it yet. It was in their Rishus. They put it on the mace. Game over. Because the mace is Koneh. Because it comes Tachrichon. It comes Aser Bahana. You're right. Had they not put it on the mace and she demanded it, she can get it back. But by putting it on the mace, they sort of like, you know, undermine this whole situation. Because the mace is a different idea. Right? Rashi says, Milo Moder of Yehuda Mechus HaGavayinu. He says, Afagav Da'adini Ma. Modehu, the kol kamad lo gavintzu, he agrees that so long as she hasn't collected yet, mina, lav resusa kaimates, not in her resus yet. Ela shibudu ba'alma isli alea. She just has a lien. Da imnensu onevdu chai bachro yosan. It's a lien. What happens if prior to the time when she collects it, they lose it? They're chai bachrayas. It's not hers yet. It's just mechusar gavaino. She hasn't collected it yet.
What would happen if it was lost?
That's what we just said.
If it's stolen.
That's what we just said. They would have to pay for it. And so it's mechusar gavaino. So she's not hers yet. The cave in the Rishus Yasmin Ninu, since it's in the Rishus of the Isomim, Asi Hektesh, the Akdusha Yomim Mafkali Shibude. So the Hektesh, by putting on the Takrichin, it's Mafkiya her Shibud. Okay? And Rav Latameh, and Rav's Lushitaso, the Amar, because Rav said, Hektesh, Chametz, and Shichur Mafkim de Shibud. Even if you have a lien, if someone is makdish something, Chemosh is a difficult case, or someone is makdish, like I owe you this book, and I, you know, and so you have a lien on this book, and I say, no, I made it hektish. Well, now your lien is gone. I still have to pay you, but the lien is gone. You can't collect this book anymore, because the hektish is mafkiya the shibud. Okay, Amar, let's go to the Mishnah. Right, we have time. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said, Hichnisu lo, she brings in Song Barzel, Shnei Kalim, two Kalim, and together the Elav Zuz. Together, they're worth 1,000. I guess it's 500 each. Like they're worth 1,000. V'shavchu, and they went up in value. V'amdu al shnei alafim. Now they're worth 2,000. I guess 1,000 each. Okay. So now what happens? Now she's coming to collect the ksuva. So the valuation was for 1,000, but the items are worth 2,000. So what's going on? So echa notalto b'piryon ksuvasa. For one of she takes one of them for the value of the ksuva. It's worth one of them is worth 1,000 zuz. That's why she takes one kli, because she can take the kli if she wants to. That we just said the dinima. She takes one kli, and that's for the thousand zuz. The echad and the other one belongs to the husband, so she can be no senas dum and venol talto. She can pay for it if she wants to. She has the right to pay 1,000 zuz for it and take it, because dinima and shvach beis via. Since shvach beis via, she has a right of first refusal to buy the item. One item she takes right away. She says, I want the items. So she takes, they're both Tzon Barzel, but she's only entitled to the value of at the initial time. So at the initial time, the value is 1,000. One of these are worth 1,000. So that covers that. And the second one, if she wants to, she can buy it. Okay. So what's this coming to teach us? Come to teach us Shvach Beis Aviyah Dehave Ham Rav Yehuda Chadazimna. We already know Shvach Beis Aviyah belonged to the father. So Ma'al Detema Hani Mila Heichad the Matched LeMishkal B'Ksuvasa Avah Mita Demu Mishkal Lo Kamash Malam. We would have thought that Shvach Beis Aviyah means only to take the items up to the value of the ksuva. The fact that Shvach Beis Aviyah allows her to now go ahead and have a right of first refusal and to buy the item that really belongs to the husband, that's the Chiddush Kamash Malam. We'll pick up tomorrow with this next Mishnah.